ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
गुड मॉर्निंग। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 10th कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। श्री सुकवाच सम्यग् व्याव्यसिता बुद्धि सम्यग् व्याव्यसिता बुद्धि तव राजसी सत्तम तव राजसी सत्तम वासुदेवं कथां ते वासुदेव कथायं ते यज्जाजत निष्टिकी रति यज्जाता निष्टिकी रति। Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada. Srila Sukhdev Goswami said, O Your Majesty, best of all saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to the topics of Vasudev, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. Because that attraction is unceasing, it is certainly sublime. Purport. Krishna Katha is compulsory for the Rajashris or executive head of government. This is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Imam Rajasayo Viduhu. Unfortunately, however, in this age, the governmental power is gradually being captured by third class and fourth class men who have no spiritual understanding, and society is therefore very quickly becoming degraded. Krishna Katha must be understood by the executive heads of government, for otherwise, how will people be happy and gain relief from the pangs of material life? One who has fixed his mind in Krishna consciousness should be understood to have very sharp intelligence in regard to the value of life. Maharaj Parikshit was Rajashri Satatam, the best of all saintly kings, and Sukhdev Goswami was Muni Satatam, the best of munis. Both of them were elevated because of their common interest in Krishna Katha. The exalted position of the speaker and the audience will be explained very nicely in the next verse. Krishna Katha is so enlivening that Maharaj Parikshit forgot everything material, even his personal comfort in relation to food and drink. This is an example of how the Krishna conscious movement should spread all over the world to bring both the speaker and the audience to the transcendental platform of going back home, back to Godhead. So here we have the beginning, the most auspicious shlok, the starting of the 10th canto by Sukhdev Goswami. So I'm very, very delighted that all of you have come, and thankful for coming, and to the authorities here for giving me a chance to start the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, because this is the most sublime, the most important, and the finality of everything. This is the ultimate knowledge. Why knowledge? Because knowledge improves our intelligence. And why the intelligence is important? Because when we leave this body, intelligence is the boat on which the soul sits. So if when you leave this body, the soul comes out of this body, the body is dead, there is no more intelligence in the body. So the intelligence has come out of the body. And the soul sits on the boat or the ship, airship of the intelligence. Intelligence can go very, very fast. And it is with pure Krishna consciousness intelligence that you can go home back to Godhead. Therefore, intelligence is important. And therefore, this particular shloka says, O your majesty, the best of all saintly kings, that means there are other saintly kings, but you are the best of all, he tells Parikshit Maharaj. Sukhdev Goswami is the most intelligent, son of Vyasadeva himself, and therefore amongst thousands and thousands of great knowledgeable brahmanas and teachers, he was chosen to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam at the last when Parikshit Maharaj was about to die. Parikshit Maharaj, right in the beginning, first chapter, right in the beginning says, what is my duty? What is the duty of a person who is about to die? Now, all of us are about to die, to tell you frankly. Whether we die in one day, 1 year, 10 years, 15 years, 100 years, whatever. So, in the cosmos of eternal time, what is the meaning of 5 days or 1 day or 1 year or 10 years or 100 years? It's a fraction. It's a very small time. So, we have to prepare now to go home back to Godhead, because that is our constitutional position. That is where we are supposed to go. We have come to the wrong place. Right here, you have just heard Prabhupada say, what does he say? Why this is a bad place or a wrong place? Because, however, in this age of Kali Yuga, the governmental power, which is the main government, is the power, gives us all everything, approvals and licenses and foreign exchange or whatever it is. The government power is captured by third class and fourth class men, which is a fact of life. They know it, and they themselves know that others are third class, fourth class. Therefore, they are sending each other to jail also. So otherwise, why a person has to go to jail? Because they're third class, fourth class. They're guilty. So they know that they are rubbish. So we know that we are like, in this particular room, I can tell you, we are like lotuses. Somebody was kind enough to offer a lotus to Prabhupada this morning. I know which girl gave it. So, we are like lotuses. And this world is like a cesspool. Ganda hai, bahut ganda hai. It's full of muck, dirt. But the lotus grows inside that only, isn't it? And derives its strength from that. So, we have to be intelligent that we have to get our strength from the government only. Or the government will take our strength away. So we have to get the best of the bargain. Okay. So the lotus, what it does, is very intelligent. That's why Krishna is known as, everything about Krishna, his eyes are lotus eyes, his feet are lotus feet, everything lotus. Why lotus? Because he's the most intelligent. And the lotus plant is the most intelligent. It only opens when there is sunlight, means when it gets photosynthesis. And it closes when the sun goes down and sets. So it's intelligent, it doesn't want to waste its time. So it just closes. No flower does that, number one. Number two, this lotus flower attracts the best bees. All the honey-making bees. What is honey? Honey is nectar, God-given gift. I was recently, as I was saying, in Egypt, in one of the, we went down into a big, what is called Yes, it was actually a pyramid, but it was the tomb of the kings. That is what it was. The tomb of the kings is this side, all the kings, their tombs, and this side, all the queens. So we went down, and there what I was told by the curator, that they found 4,000-year-old honey pots, along with the burial of the king. And those 4,000-year-old pots of honey, when they tested it, everything, they were perfect. As good as yesterday's honey. So honey does not deteriorate. It's the only food on earth which does not deteriorate. It's as good as made yesterday. Why? Because it is stated that it is the nectar of God. It is the gift of God given to us. And in the Unani medicines, it is said 49 medicines are inside the honey. So it's the best thing that children are getting when they are born. The first thing mothers give for licking on the tongue is honey. So the child gets very happy, one. Two, it gets nourishment, and honey is the best thing. So here, we are like bumblebees collected to listen to Krishna Katha, the honey, which is given by none other than Sukhdev Goswami himself. He says, O best of the saintly kings, because you are greatly attracted to the topics of Vasudev, Krishna, It is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. So now Bhagavatam very clearly says there is only one goal we have. See, the problem in this world and everywhere is we are out of focus. If you don't focus on something, you never achieve it. If you want to become a millionaire or a billionaire, you have to focus on how to make wealth. And you'll get it. It's just a matter of time. It'll happen. But you have to concentrate very heavily, make everybody else in your organization concentrate on one point program only. Similarly, right here, we are all concentrating on only one, and that is Vasudev Krishna and his lotus feet. We mustn't forget that, because there are lots of distractions in this world, because Maya Devi is offering all sorts of lollipops to us. Oh, you want some very nice restaurant food, you want some nightclub, you want this, that, gambling, Monaco, you want to go to Las Vegas, everything is available in this world. But that is all distraction from this basic topics of Vasudev, and only the Bhagavatam has these topics of Vasudev. And therefore, the father of Sukhdev Goswami, that is Vyasdev, was so unhappy. After writing millions of shlokas of Sanskrit, 18 Puranas, he wrote, 108 Upanishads, he wrote. I mean, each Puran, if you see, I was yesterday studying, one Puran has 24,000 shlokas, another one has 80,000 shlokas, another one has 1,20,000. Mahabharata it goes in lakh. So, just imagine we can't write even one shloka of Sanskrit properly. And this gentleman was writing all his life. Because he was empowered, he's Saktavesh Avatar, he's empowered by Krishna himself. But still he was unhappy. And therefore, when his Guru Maharaj, Narad Muni, came, he said, I know the reason why you are so unhappy. Because you have not glorified the appearance and the activities of Lord Krishna. That's why you are unhappy. So he said, oh, okay. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is the shloka. What is that? 4.9, right? Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo viti tatyata tyaktva deham punarjanma. Neti ma meti so Arjuna. So if you can just understand two things, the divine appearance of Lord Krishna, two, the divine activities of Lord Krishna. Therefore, it is written here the word sublime. Now, sublime, and there is a word called sublimate. In chemistry, anyone here is chemistry graduate or chemical engineering? Ah, there you are. So sublimation, you understand. It goes from the solid state immediately into the vapor stage. There is no liquid stage in between. See, in the case of ice, first becomes by heat water, and more heat, then it becomes steam. But there are certain things, I think it was potassium permanganate, is it? Camphor. Camphor is the best example. Goes straight from solid state, you heat it like we do in the aarti, it goes straight into the vapor stage. So what he's saying here is, you and I and everybody here are like dull matter. Solid state. We are all like solid state. Now we have to sublimate to the spiritual world. Because you cannot go in the spiritual world in a solid state form. I'm talking about physics. You cannot, or chemistry. You cannot go into the spiritual world in a liquid form. You can only go in the spiritual form. This is an equivalent. See, analogy means there must be a one-to-one equivalent. So we are all in a solid state. You just press somebody, you'll know he's solid. So, but the fact of the matter is, his solid is going to remain here only when he dies. So what has gone away? What has gone away is the spiritual, isn't it? You can't catch it. You can't press it. You can't see it also. Because it is 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair. That is the size of the soul. How can you see? You can't see it with a microscope, magnifying glass, nothing. You can't even electrically measure it. What is the negative power or positive, what it is. But it has all intelligence. That is important. If we have the wrong intelligence, we'll go in the wrong place. It's obvious. You go to the railway station or go to the airport, and you want to go to Vrindavan, you have to buy an air ticket to or a train ticket to Mathura or Delhi, as the case may be. You can't go to Madras. It's stupid. It's if you are going in the wrong direction. Unfortunately, originally we have got the wrong ticket. And we landed in this material world. Okay, fine. Never mind. Ho gaya to ho gaya. Now, what? Then, the next step is association of devotees. Because as Radhanath Maharaj says in his Journey Back Home, beautiful thing, beautiful book. That book, he says very clearly, he was in Patna. There he was staying at a Ram temple. There were so many millions of mosquitoes biting him on the river of the Ganges. And there that Narayan Swami said that you are not a Ram Bhakta, you are a Krishna Bhakta. So go to Vrindavan, Mathura. And he didn't know what is this gentleman talking about, Vrindavan, Mathura. So he said, that is the train and they are all going to Mathura. So he jumped in, as most sannyasis in those days used to do, through the window. No ticket. And in Bihar, in any case, people don't buy tickets. So if you pay and buy a ticket, that means you are a non-Bihari. So they are all, you know, whether it's Nikunj Bihari or whether it is Bihari, they are Bihari. So these Nikunj Bihari Dasis means Krishna Bhaktas. They were all going. So Radhanath Maharaj went in the group of devotees to Mathura. When he landed at Mathura, he didn't know what to do next. So they all were going walking to Vrindavan. So he says, they are all going to Vrindavan, I'll also go to Vrindavan. By association of devotees. Why this is important? Because we have association of devotees. We have to have some association. Otherwise, we'll go mad. Mahaprabhu either hai na? Mahaprabhuji, we have gone to jail, right? But not because we were guilty. Because he's a lawyer, my lawyer. But we went to jail to preach. And we were preaching in this Arthur Road jail, where this kasab is put. And at that time, he was not there, but there was some other equivalent. But we were preaching to them. And they were so happy. So somebody has come from the outside, inside. And we took prasadam with us. We took, I think, Mahaprabhuji, hum log film bhi le gaye the na? Film bhi le gaye the. We took a film. Nobody shows any film inside there. Wo khud hi actor hai sab. So, so we went and we showed film of Krishna Katha and everything. And they were so happy, they were so sublime. And with prasadam and with Mahaprabhu's wonderful preaching in Hindi. So everything was so well set, you see. But they didn't know that they are in a jail in a jail. It is like a dog having a flea and that flea having a flea. So they were actually really in a bad way. Because none of them could go out. We at least can go out of this room. We can go to another country. We can travel all over the place. But those are distractions. We have to spend some time every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. There is no other way, as Sukhdev Goswami says here, that your intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding, which is the only true goal for humanity. He's not talking about only for the king. He's not talking about only for the devotees. It is for all humanity. So I was listening to Prabhupada one tape. He said, there are 84 lakh unis, means wombs. Uni means wombs. So there are dogs, cats, elephants, big unis like elephants or whales, or small unis like ants or flies or whatever. But they are unis. And these jivatmas go in, enter that, and they get a body of that type. So out of these 84 lakh unis, only 4 lakh are human. And out of those 4 lakh, very few are civilized. In this, he's talking about Anantakoti Brahmanda. There are so many uncountable Brahmands. Ours is not the only Brahmand, not the only universe. There are many, many universes. And now with these wonderful photographs I've seen, you get light years away, million light years away, universes colliding with each other and all sorts of things. And so there are people there also, jivatmas there also. In the sun, Prabhupada says, they have fiery bodies. That is fact. Because just as we are living on earth, so we have earthly bodies. This body has got nearly 80-90% earth elements. We have got earth includes water here. So we have lots of earthly elements. But in the sun, they have fiery bodies. So in other planets, they've got other type of bodies, you see. But those are unfortunate because they don't have association of devotees of Hare Krishna. They cannot chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Because they don't have this possibility. So that is why even demigods who are in the planets of the heavenly planets, they are saying that we want to be born on this material earth. Why should we go to jail? This earth is called a Durga. The word Dur and Ga means prison house in Sanskrit. So, of course, there is another meaning of Durga also. She is also the wife of Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is the controller of this material universe. But he is reporting to the supreme boss, that is Krishna, Vasudev. Lord Shiva knows this. And therefore, he is also chanting the holy name. You see? Otherwise, you don't see Krishna's picture with beads in his hands or anything in his hands. So one day, Parvati asked also Lord Shiva, that whose name are you? You are the Supreme Lord. Because all, you know, good wives always feel that the husband is very good. They are supposed to, in any case. But the husbands know that the wives also have their own, you know, when they want money, they say that. So what happened is that Parvati ji told Shiva that you are the supreme and here you are sitting hours and hours and hours chanting. Whose name are you chanting? So he said, I am chanting my Lord's name. He is my supreme authority. In his case, it is Lord Ramchandra ji. She said, I don't believe this. How can it be? I just see on this earth, here is Ram, here is Lakshman, they are in the forest, going all over the place. Asking trees, asking birds, where is my Sita? Have you anybody seen Sita? How can that be God? So she could not believe that. So went down to investigate, to test God. That's a very dangerous thing to do. Now we'll shortly hear about it. So this wonderful lady goes down and she assumes the form of Sita. Absolutely perfect to the last hair. And she sits under a tree. And she's waiting for Ram to come. She knows that Ram is going to come in this direction. So the moment Ram comes, he sees her. He says, Mataji, where is Shivji? What are you doing in this big jungle? Poor thing. She's so embarrassed. She's exposed. She thinks she had done a great job of looking like Sita and going to test Ramchandraji. She immediately falls at his lotus feet and says, I am so sorry. My husband told me. She's truthful. She's a Vaishnavi after all. So he told everything. Don't worry, don't worry. That is not the real Sita who's gone away. That is only the Maya Sita. Means another Sita. Shadow Sita. Ravan has not been able to touch my original Sita. So similarly, here in the Bhagavatam, we can touch actually God in his lotus feet by the Acha Vigraha form himself, because the Lord says in the 11th canto, I'll just read it out. It's a beautiful thing he says. He says to Uddhav, incidentally, Lord is the greatest of everything. Otherwise, he cannot be God by definition, right? I mean, unless God is the greatest in everything, means somebody is greater than him in something. Then he wouldn't be God. So he is the greatest teacher also. So he teaches Bhagavad Gita earlier, then he Bhagavatam, and the last thing he teaches in the Bhagavatam I'd like to read out. That is in the Uddhava Gita. He tells, my dear Uddhava, who says? Krishna. That is why we are praying to Krishna. We are not fools that we would pray to anybody. If anybody comes and says, I am Bhagwan. Yes, yes, you are Bhagwan. Wo nahi chalega. Because we've seen too many nakli Bhagwans. So we want a real, genuine peace, you know, real 100% genuine Bhagwan. So he is telling Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. Because it's mentioned here, no? That unless you are attracted in the company of devotees to pure devotional service, you cannot go home back to Godhead. So knowledge is like a medicine. But if it is in the package and you don't put it in your mouth and you don't swallow water with it and take it in your stomach and distribute it in your body, then knowledge will be just a piece of package. Correct? But if you put that medicine of knowledge in devotional service and actually carry out bhakti, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atma Nivedanam. Unless you do all these Navda Bhaktis, as Prahlad Maharaj says, you are not going to benefit. You are only going to have the cost or the difficulty of carrying these medicines around. If you carry your medicine in your pocket, you are not going to solve your problem. Your fever will continue. Fever of what? Attachment to this material world. So you have to take this medicine in the association of devotees. Who are the devotees? They are like doctors and nurses in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. That's who they are. We've got hospitals everywhere. This is also a hospital, really. Hospital for whom? For the soul. So we are trying to cure the souls who are actually in disease. Birth, death, old age, disease, we accept. We have to have. We had birth. We have to have disease. We are all growing old. I remember I was like, when India got independent, I was 7 years old in 1947. And I remember all these fatakas and so many banners and all these railway stations were very well lit up and everything. And India is going to be very, very happy. We are independent now. See the state now. Where we are, you see. So anyway, we are at least happy here in this room. And nicely air-conditioned due to Maharaj. Maharaj is, Radhanand Swami is very good intelligence. He air-conditioned the whole place. He brought the best designer from Italy. Matsya Avatar Prabhu runs a designing, what we call, custom house. Near Florence, which is one of the best places on earth. And we got the best marbles. Everything Maharaj wanted, number one. All gold plate here, gold, everything, number one. You see, gold value has gone up so much. So it's good. So, Uddhav, one can give false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. One may purify oneself by seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, and offering prayers of glorification and obeisances to my form as the deity and to my pure devotees. Pure devotee here, deity of Krishna here. So when you offer obeisance in the middle, you are offering to both. Of course, it's better to offer at the lotus feet. So that is the fundamental thing. First thing we do is we enter the room, offer obeisances to the deity and the pure devotee. That is stated in Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna himself has taught Uddhav. Because Uddhav said, now you are going away. So now I'll be helpless. No, I want to come with you. So Krishna said, no. You have to stay behind. But he says, what will I do here? So he says, this is what you shall do. And this is what we shall do. So first, offering obeisances to my form as deity and my pure devotees. One should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities. That is done in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is what you are going to hear for the next few months. Because the 10th canto is equal in size, number of shlokas, as the rest of the whole Bhagavatam. So it has taken from first canto, first chapter, first shlok to today. How many years it has taken? More than 15 years. So next 15 years, guaranteed, all of you are going to have divine listening of Bhagavatam 10th canto. Why the 10th canto is given so much importance? Because it is concentrated. It's like solid sugar, you know. Of course, diabetics, I'm not saying, but non-diabetics, I'm saying. They love that. Solid candy sugar, as Prabhupada says. So that solidified, very wonderful prasadam is this 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. There is no difference between Krishna Prasad and Krishna himself, or even the things that are taught here. So Krishna says to Uddhava, one should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities. That is being done here every morning. And here with love and faith, the narrations of my glories, and constantly meditate on me. Me means Krishna. So all of you are concentrating with faith. I can see none of you are gone to sleep yet. One should offer to me whatever one acquires, and accepting oneself as my eternal servant, one should give oneself completely to me. Of course, in Kali Yuga, Rupa Goswami says, don't give 100%, give 50%. Adha adha, partnership kar do with God. So that is the formula given by our Rupa Goswami, who is a Rasa Acharya. Like we have Nama Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, Rupa Goswami is Rasa Acharya. What is Rasa? Why Rasa is so important? That is mellow. Why? Because we are all craving for that. We are all wanting that. We want association. We want the love and affection. We want the concentrated rasa, the wonderful divine nectar. That is the ultimate aim of every human being. When he gets so much wealth, you know, there are some people in this room I know, they fall in some other bracket, stratosphere. But they like, they love to associate with devotees. That's why they come here. Isn't it? Aniruddha Prabhu. Hare Krishna. So, we are all interested only in one subject. And that is the beauty of it. Whether you are pauper or you are a multi-billionaire, whatever. In the eyes of Krishna, we are all equal. We are 1/10,000th of a tip of a hair. That is what we are. He only sees the spirit. He does not see our bank balance. He does not see our body, how strong we are, how beautiful you are. Because there are some very beautiful people here. But that's not important. You may be the ugliest person. That doesn't matter. There was once a Ashtavakra, no? What is his name? Ashtavakra. He was bent in 8 different places, the poor fellow. But what to do? But he was so brilliant. His intelligence was so good that intelligence alone took him home back to Godhead. You see? It's not his bad body. So we should not think of anybody who's supposing has polio or whatever. We should not criticize. Because that is unfortunate. We should actually not even sympathize. We should talk of Krishna Katha. So he gets relief. Further he says, one should offer to me whatever one acquires. Okay. One should always discuss my birth and activities and enjoy life by participating in festivals. So you should enjoy, Krishna says. You should not lament all the time. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, never lament for the living or for the dead. You see? But you should participate in festivities such as Janmashtami, which glorifies my pastime. You see how intelligent Prabhupada is. Everything, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Babaji, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, our parampara, they are strictly following this shlok. 100% this, what is this shlok? 11, 11, 41. So it is actually 30, it's several of them, 34 to 41. In my temple, one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments. That's what we did just now in the morning. We were dancing, we were singing, we were playing musical instruments. Okay. That means everything 100% what is written here, we are doing here. That is all. If you don't do that, even one thing you change, no, then you are in a problem. Because it has to be as it is. One should observe all the regularly celebrated annual festivals by attending ceremonies, pilgrimages. We are all going on pilgrimage shortly to Vrindavan. Mentioned in the Vedas. One should also follow Ekadashis. Take initiation by the procedure mentioned in the Vedas. So many of us have taken initiations also here. And the others will take. And lovingly support the installation of my deity. Mahaprabhuji, Mahaprabhu Das, lovingly brought the deities all the way from Jaipur and suffered whatever he had to suffer. But that is now so pleasurable to him that I carried Radha Gopinath to this temple. Of course, we virtually stole them, but that's a different story. I'll come to that later sometime. We are guilty of that, but that divine guilt. But what is it? Every one of us is a thief in one way or the other. We are blaming Krishna as a butter thief, but that theek hai, butter is not so valuable. But in this world, everyone, we are stealing people's time, you know. That's also valuable. Money is time, time is money. Sometimes a boring person is stealing the time of the other person. One should also observe religious activities, correct. Then, one should construct Krishna conscious temples. Krishna is saying, I am not saying, Baba. Krishna is saying right here in this text of this chapter that one should construct Krishna conscious temples and cities. So in Mayapur, they are trying to construct a whole city, Krishna conscious city, as well as flower gardens. Maharaj has made beautiful garden here, fruit garden, and special areas to celebrate my pastimes. There is also here. One should consider oneself to be very humble servant and without duplicity, and thus should help clean the temple, and which is my home. The temple is my home. First, one should sweep and dust thoroughly. What happens if we dust and clean the temple? Our own heart gets cleaned. And one should further cleanse with water and cow dung. That is also being done here. Having dried the temple, one should sprinkle scented water and decorate the temple with malas that the ladies are doing day and night. One should thus act just like my servant. A devotee should never advertise his devotional activities. Therefore, his service will not cause any false pride. Because pride cometh before the fall. One should never use lamps that are offered to me for any other purpose. Means if you are using paraphernalia for Krishna's service, you should not offer to anybody else. It's all mentioned here. And similarly, one should never offer to me anything that has been offered to anyone else. Whatever is most desired by one within the material world and whatever is most dear to oneself, one should offer that thing, very thing to me. That means money. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life with me. Now, wouldn't that be the best thing on earth? Because we are actually what? Here, temporarily, for few days, few months, few years. And thereafter, we will be going home back to Godhead. All of us in this room. That has been guaranteed by Prabhupada. Prabhupada has told that my disciples' disciples, and so on and so forth, if they follow the four regulative principles, chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, they will definitely go home back to Godhead. I have still 5 more minutes. So, I want to tell you about, again, because I am an engineer, we talk of engineering examples. So, we are just like iron rods, cold-hearted, steel-bound, and we are hard. Now, what happens is that by association of devotees, this heart of ours, which originally is black, and it is cold and hard, and it is in a very unpalatable position, it becomes hot. Because Krishna consciousness, there is a certain degree of heat. It is called spiritual heat that starts in the heart. The purification. Just like gold, impure gold, you need to heat it. I think gold you need to heat it to 440 degrees centigrade. You know, you kya hai, pata nahi hai. Anyway, it is something like that. Your son knows, I'll ask him. So he runs something in that. So that by heating gold, the impurities of gold vanishes. You see? So similarly, by heating the heart with this tapasya, tapeti tapasya. Tap means heat. So we are doing tapasya. What in Kali Yuga we do very pleasant tapasya. Not like in the Satyug, you know, 60,000 years starving and all that. We can't starve for a day also. Because in the end of 24 hours, we are looking everywhere for water and food. So those people were different. So this cold, hard and black steel rod turns soft. Heart becomes softer here. It becomes from black hearted, we become white hearted maybe. And then we have to continue. That's the main point. You cannot expect that we will heat the rod, steel rod, for a short time. Garam ho gaya, acha ho gaya. Then put it in water or just leave it alone. Then again it will become cold and hard and so on. So unless you have constant association of devotees, this example is given of the steel rod, that will only keep that in that position till you die. Of course, after that, don't invite devotees to die with you. But then you will get, in any case, other devotees to take charge, Vishnu Dutas. So you will have no difficulty. And the real test of it all is remembering Krishna at the last moment of life. It's like these children who take exams. I remember when we were studying, the children who were constantly studying, they would get first class marks or the best marks. But those who were failures always used to be doing some other things, not going to class or not studying or something. Suddenly when there is an exam to study for 1 week and then try to appear for exams, you will not pass. You see? So similarly, we have to constantly chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Chanting brings Krishna into your heart. Because if you listen to that, your ears are always open. You can't close your ears, even when you go to sleep. So that's why it is very important to hear, because a sleeping man also is benefited if somebody is chanting somewhere. Because that chanting is going through his ears, into his heart. And he's residing there, the Jivatma. Just like, supposing you take a medicine, like in a hospital I've seen, our Akrur Prabhu a few days ago I saw, he was in like coma. Nobody could even wake him up, correct? But medicines were going through the intravenous, isn't it? So even if he's asleep, the medicine was working. And now he's sort of much improved, correct? So similarly, the holy name of the Lord, you may think that is not having any effect, but it is having its effect. Even if you are sleeping, it doesn't matter. Keep Prabhupada's tape working, even when it's sleeping. You'll get the benefit, because the ears are always open. Eyes may be closed, your mind may be closed, but your ears will be open. And that will directly inject that knowledge into your heart. And that will improve your intelligence. So improve your intelligence to go home back to Godhead. Not improve intelligence to repeatedly have birth, death, old age, disease millions of times in this world. My time is up. And this is what they say here. Hare Krishna. 10 o'clock. Oh, thank you. Question? Old honey. Gold is, and honey is liquid gold. I connected that way. Because
they're saying the Mahavishnu, Vishnu is lying on the sixth door. I'll tell you.
See, what happened was that there was a very famous king in those days. It was called Travancore Cochin. Okay, now it's called Kerala, same thing. Now this king was a great Vaishnav king. And he was a devotee of Padmanabh Swami. So he built the best, biggest temple of the Lord resting, you know. And from you can see there's a lotus stem coming and a lotus and then Brahma sitting there actually. So that was his way of offering to the Lord. It's mentioned here, no, in that 41st slok, that build a temple of Krishna. And he gave a lot of his wealth to the Lord only. That is also mentioned here. The more you give to Krishna, the more you receive. It's a very interesting phenomena. In the material world, the more you give away to the government, the less you receive. But in Krishna's government, the more you give to Krishna, the more you receive. It's a fact. So, all of us know this. So, this great king, they are from the Varmas. They are known as Varmas, these kings. Like in Madras area, there were Cholas, no? Cholas king, like that. Or we read in this Bhagavatam, so many kings' names and all that. Last king I know was Ravi Varma. He was a great painter who painted beautiful all sorts of paintings. So his predecessors, they collected all this great wealth. Lakhs of crores of rupees and locked it up. But that is wrong. Prabhupada says, use it in the service of the Lord. Give prasadam to everyone. Serve the Krishna. Print books. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, even take out the marble from the walls of Bora Bazaar? Bagh Bazaar temple and print books. That's a fact. We should do that only. Not just store the money. That is a mistake. Yeah? Honey.
India, they found gold.
Yeah.
India is more fortunate.
India is very fortunate. That's why you have taken birth here. You see, only very fortunate people take birth in India. And now it's clear to the whole world that by 2030 we'll be the richest country in the world. So that's what they say. At least, what did that Goldman Sachs say? One person in Goldman Sachs made that statement. So actually India was the richest up to Akbar time. It had 25% of the world's GDP, actually. 25% of the world's GDP is not a joke, you see. So quarter of the world's gross domestic product and the wealth was in India. And that's why all these fellows were coming to India. Whether they were the Muslims from the north or whether they were from the west, these Europeans, or the Chinese from the east. They all landed up here only to rob, you see. But this Bhumi is such, Bharat Bhumi, that it keeps on producing fantastically. Now this year, I'm told that we are going to have, if the Krishna is always very kind to us, but his servant Indra is also kind to us now. So we have got water. So rain, and there will be a lot of crops, grain, because that's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, that only if I send rain, there will be crops. Otherwise, there will be desert. There's no rain. So we'll have very good crops and that will be, again, growth, wealth of our nation. So I have some more notes. I can continue, Prabhuji? Because I was under the wrong impression. So the material body, as we see, you can see my body, I can see your body, all of you. You see, that how we have become body conscious is because when we were children, very small babies, we didn't know anything, right? Agnyanati mirandasya, gnananjana shlaka. We were in agnyan, pura. So, suddenly we saw all these people kissing us and taking care of us, feeding us, clothing us, bathing us. Then the child feels, you know, I am something great. Actually, the babies are feeling like that. And if they are not getting attention, they demand attention. And then make life miserable for everybody. Particularly at night for the parents. So, the thing is that we just start becoming the center of attraction. Then we think, oh, I am the person who should be taken care of. Everybody else secondary. You see, it becomes like that. And therefore, this habit has gone on for millions of years. Even I have seen tigers taking so much care of tiger cubs. In Africa, I saw hyenas, which is the most filthy animal on earth, taking great care of the baby hyenas, you see. So all babies are taken very good care by their parents. So that makes the child feel that he is special. And pride develops, you see. And from that pride, everything else, all the bad things develop. Kaam, krodh, lobh, moh, mad, matsa starts from pride. That's why in this Bhagavatam shloka, everywhere it is written, be humble. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Tranadapi sanichena, tarorapi saishnunam, amani naamana dena, kirtaniya sadhari. Always be humble. Just offer obeisances to everyone. Because you're offering obeisances to the Paramatma residing in the heart of everyone. You see. You're not offering obeisances to his dirty feet. You're offering not to the person's feet. You're really offering obeisances to Paramatma within his heart. And if it's a Vaishnava, it's even more glorified. Because if you take the dust of that feet of the Vaishnava and put it on your head, I've seen it in Mayapur, these women, they go around and collect the dust from the floor only and physically put it in their head. I've seen it. So what is the meaning of that? Why? This means that I want to become more humble. As humble as a blade of grass. So the grass, blade of grass, is so humble that when the wind blows very fast, it will bend. But if a tree is erect all the time, then the first blast of cyclone and the tree will fall. It will be cracked. You follow? So the wisest thing is to be like grass only. Tranadupi sanichena. But tarorupi saishunam, give shelter to everybody else. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combination of Radharani and Krishna. Krishna himself, when he finished all this 10th canto, 11th canto, 12th canto, and he went back to his home, back to Godhead. His home is Golok Vrindavan. He was sitting alone, no? And he was saying, oh, why am I feeling sad? Now, earlier, who was feeling sad? Vyasadeva. And he wrote about Krishna and Krishna's divine pastimes and everything. And he became happy. Now Krishna is feeling sad. It's very odd. So he goes home and he's saying, now I'm alone. What happened? I was so happy with the devotees. Where is Yashoda Mai? Where is Nanda Baba? Where are all these my friends? He was alone, you see. So man alone, even if he's in ivory tower. Ivory means, you know, tower is like a symbol of great wealth. But what is the use if he is not with the association of devotees? So that is why again he wanted to come back. And in the mood of Radharani, he was thinking, oh, amongst all the devotees, the greatest devotee he ever saw was Radharani. It's his own internal haladini potency actually. So he wanted to associate again. So that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this world as Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Then what happens is all his friends also, they also, like Arjun, is eternally, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, wherever I go, you are there actually. You don't remember, but I remember. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears, Ramana Rai also comes. Correct? Arjun. But who is he? He's in the mood of Amanjari, right? Or Lalita, I forget. Vishakha, sorry. Yes. So Ramana Rai. Each one of them who associated with Krishna, they come, but they also duplicate the mood because Radharani, they don't want her to be alone. So Radharani also gets association of her associates because they are in that mood. Like Ramana Rai, Vishakha, somebody, Manjari, Rupa Manjari, you know, some all these. So Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari, isn't it? Like that. So all of them have this association. Even Krishna needs association. You see, he doesn't like to be alone. That is why he's created this whole universes and everything. I've heard people say, why did God make this, all this nonsense? And all these universes and ye, sab hum log ko takleef mein kyun rakh diya? But it's not that. You have got yourself chose your takleef, you see. He is actually wanting to enjoy. His basic nature is Satchitanand. He wants to have Anand. And we actually are part and parcel of Krishna. So we are also tiny little Satchitanands. 1/10,000 of a tip of a hair. So we also want other tip of hairs, you know, Satchitanands to associate with. Because we associate, just makes sense, because an ant will be happy with an ant only. It can't be happy with an elephant. Because they're fearsome, you see. Any time that elephant's foot will come, it will be squashed. So we are happy with devotees like this only. You see, if the huge, big, gigantic devotee even comes, assuming a 20-floor high devotee, there are devotees, I'm sure, in other planets who are very, very tall. Muchkund Maharaj, you know that one great devotee? He actually went in war against the demons on the side of Asuras. He fought. He was from the early Satyug time, you see. And he kept on fighting. And then he got so tired, he wanted to have sleep. So he went into the cave, right? Subramaniam Swami. That's what they say in South India. Subramaniam Swami. Subramaniam Swami means Kartikeya, the commander-in-chief of the army. So Kartikeya, the son of Lord Shiva, brother of our Ganeshji. So he told him, Kedana, now you have done a lot of hard work. After all, I am the commander-in-chief. I give you time to sleep now in the cave. That's why Muchkund Maharaj went to sleep in the cave, because he was so tired. Human beings, you know what we are. We always want to sleep. So he went to sleep. But he was from Satyug, means he was huge size, you see. And then this, who was Kal Devi? Kalyavan. Just now on TV also, no, Krishna. So that Kalyavan came and he saw that cloth of Krishna lying on him. Krishna is very smart. Probably he's the smartest, most intelligent, obviously. So he can kill a person with his cloak also. So he put his cloak on this Muchkund Maharaj, who was sleeping. So this fellow, Kalyavan, this Asura, he comes and he kicks him, thinking that it is Krishna. And this fellow wakes up. Now he had a boon, that if anybody disturbs him while he is sleeping, and if he looks at him only, he will burn to ashes. So this Asura came, kicks him, thinking he's Krishna, and he's saying, you are like a coward. Amongst cowards also, he's the greatest. So in everything, Krishna is the greatest, Ranchod. So he left the battlefield. So he then opens his eyes, and this demon is reduced to ashes. Then he sees Krishna. Then he said that I was told by Kartikeya, the commander-in-chief of the Deva's army, that I will be waken up and then I will see Krishna. So, are you Krishna? Show me your form. Then Krishna shows his eternal form. Somebody here we can see. So then he goes out. Then he says, why are these trees so small? Ye bonsai hota hai na? Aisa hi lagta tha usko. The trees were looking very small. Then he sees, oh my God, what's happened to all these animals? They're like toys. Chota chota, you know, children's toys. Then he sees the men also. He says, they are all so tiny. What happened to them? That is Kali Yuga. We have all become small. In Kali Yuga, this is what happens. We all become small-hearted. Everything about us becomes small. And we have no possibility of doing anything, really speaking, except association of devotees. Then we become big. Then we become good. And we can offer devotional service. And by devotional service only, there is no other way. There is no other way, no other way. Three times. Hare Nam, Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gathiryanta. There is no other way in Kali Yuga except by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Are there any questions or any comments? Yes. Hari Bol.
Prabhuji, what is the difference between Ram birth and Krishna birth? And how do we
make it? Mike is there? So far, he has asked, What is the difference between a Ram Bhakt and a Krishna Bhakt?
And how do we determine whether a particular person is a Ram Bhakt or a Krishna Bhakt?
Very good. So, we have to go to the Shastra. Anything we have to see from the point of view of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra to get any truth in this world. If all three are in the same vector, means in the same direction and say the same thing, then that is defined as truth. That's the definition of truth. The definition of truth is when what the sadhus say, what the guru says, and what the shastra says is the same thing, that is called truth. Okay? All right. So now, let us see. What does the shastra say? Most of the Ram bhaktas, because Ram himself was in a certain mood, like Hanumanji here, are his devotees who are in Dasya Ras. You see? Because Ram did not want to marry again. He had only one wife, right? What does the Shastra say? That when Sitaji left, he made a golden Sitaji. Again, gold. So, golden Sitaji. Because they said, the Pandit said, as all Pandits usually say, that you cannot be alone, your wife must be with you when you do yajna and puja. So he said, all right, then we'll have a golden Sita. So he did not marry anybody second time, correct? So he did not go into the realm of certain area of what is called Madhurya Ras. Whereas, so there is no Ram Bhakta who is in Madhurya Ras. It is only in the Krishna Shastras, means Srimad Bhagavatam, we read about Madhurya Ras for the first time. And then you go to Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna himself is in Madhurya Ras. He is himself in the mood of Radharani, who is the topmost in Madhurya Ras. There is no Radharani in Ramayana. Yesterday I heard a very nice definition of Ramayana. Very nice. First time I heard that. So we say Uttarayana, you know, when the sun goes in southern direction, Uttarayana or something like that. So, Ayana is traveling in Sanskrit. So, Ramayana is Ram's traveling pastimes. Ramayana. You understood? Krishna doesn't have to do any Ramayana business. Although he is totally independent. Uska man mein jo aata hai, wo karta hai. But Ram is actually Maryada Purushottam. So, he is within limits. So, all his devotees are also within his limits because they are following Ram. Follow my point. Unfortunately or fortunately, we sometimes go haywire. But that Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. No limits. You see? So actually devotees do limitless things. Like Prabhupada, I mean, who can imagine 70-year-old person starting from scratch with 42 rupees in New York? I mean, not $1, not one red cent going there. I mean, it doesn't make sense. But for Prabhupada, it made sense because it was the order of his spiritual master. So, no devotee of Ram has ever done that. So, you see the difference? There is Prabhupada. Ask him only. See? No devotee of Ram would do that. Hanumanji did something great, yes. Too much. No devotee of Krishna has also done. Prabhupada took a boat, regular boat, to go across. Hanuman flew across. But Hanuman didn't know himself that he had that capacity to fly across. But how Hanuman has that capacity to fly across? Who is Hanuman? Hanuman is actually Lord Shiva's youngest brother. 11 brothers, no? 11 Rudras, right? 11 Rudras, the youngest one is Hanuman. Lord Shiva's youngest brother. Okay. Mahadev.
And he meditates on Lord Ram.
Yes.
Not Lord Krishna.
No, you see, that's the whole point. That you may want to meditate on Ram. Like in the group of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was Murari Gupta, right? He was a doctor, Vaidya. And he was himself Hanuman, really speaking. He tried his level best to concentrate on Krishna.
But his concentration always went to Ram. Doesn't matter. If you want to concentrate on Ram, by all means sit here and enjoy. Krishna Katha and Ram Katha, both we'll give you. But the point here is that Ram is Vasudev. The same Vasudev as Krishna of Mathura and Dwarka. And Lakshman is Shankarsana. Okay. And Bharat and Shatrughna is Pradyumna and Aniruddha. You see? So that same Chaturvyu is there. You must have the bigger picture of Ramayana and Mahabharata and Srimad Bhagavatam. Then you won't see different. And we are also chanting, no? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So what's the problem? Hari Bol. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol, Mataji.
Beautiful lecture, always very full
yours
of intelligence.
Yours was even better yesterday.
No, Prabhu, I can never touch your feet even. This little doubt came in my mind. You said, true, when children are born, we are always hovering around them, catering to their all needs, demands and all. And then they throw tantrum if we don't listen to them. And like this, the pride develops in the heart. But Prabhu, I have also seen people who are just born children, you know, of any unwedded mother, whatever. They are thrown into some anath ashram. Yeah. And those people, when they become big, they also have pride.
Yeah, yeah. We had devotees. I mean, this is anath ashram originally. Lady Northcote Hindu orphanage. We are all anath actually. But the fact, we have now got Sanath. We have got Krishna. But the point here is that when I took over here as a managing trustee of this Anath Ashram, I was shocked. Some of the boys who were thrown away from their families or Anath, and they had, sometimes the mother was living and she got remarried. She dumped the child here and went away with a new man or whatever. Those examples were there. We had terrible, terrible cases here. But the fact is that pride develops. Because what happens is that the atmosphere of Kali Yuga is such, you see. This atmosphere is such. And you're breathing in all that stuff, you know, except of course in this room. But the fact is that when the child is not born, the womb of the mother, from the 7th month to the 9th month, according to the Bhagavatam, it is in dear, dear problem, very serious problem. It's in a constricted place. Consciousness has come. He's understanding that he's in a terrible mess. Just imagine. I mean, I worship all Matajis, but the point is what's inside your womb, I wouldn't like to eat or drink or sleep. Or, you know. So, all these juices or whatever they are. And the child is getting bitten by very tiny, tiny bugs, you know, in the stomach of the mother, womb of the mother. Constantly is in harassment. You see? For 2 months he prays actually. Please get me out of here. Krishna, I will make sure that when I come out, I will be your devotee. And then what happens? And then he comes out and the doctor gives him one slap at the back and starts breathing. And then he sees around. You see, the child never speaks for 11 months or 12 months. He sees around here, there with big, big eyes. The eyes don't change. Huh? Same size. So this child sees around everywhere and then he's not speaking. He's listening only and he's enjoying also some of them. Some of them not enjoying. Some of them, as you said, are thrown away or killed or whatever happened. His karma is also there, comes with it. So then this child, you know, is in a very bad shape when he's inside the womb. In the last 2 months are miserable. The worst time of his life is inside the womb actually, not outside the womb. But then mothers are so kind, no? They take care of their children, whether they are doing toilet or anything for the mother, that is like Channel 5, you know, perfume. they don't look upon that as a dirt. See, they clean the child, they take care of the child. Regardless, I've seen my wife, you know, in the middle of the night, where is he? Is he here? My son? No, he's not here. So much coughing and cold and fever and all. I would say, Baba, I'm going in the neighboring room and sleeping. You take care of your son. I use my son also, but then at that time, next day I'm thinking I have to go to the office. So then dump the son. You see, that's what happened. That's why the children develop so much bondage with the mother. Because the fathers are a little tough, you know. Any other questions or comments? Yeah. One more. Yeah. Where is Anand? Vridhan Prabhuji is here? No. We have a stock market senior person. He comes very often, he asks questions also. So practically every day. But today he's not there. So the thing is, he has answered that question because he's expert at that. So he says that, what can I do? I'm praying to Krishna. He first comes in the morning here. Every day, practically, right? Attends Bhagavatam class. And then I think he has prasadam with the devotees in the morning, correct? And then he goes to the stock exchange. And he's got prizes also. I've seen big prizes he has got from Bombay Stock Exchange and from so many people. So best distributor of this or that or whatever it is. And then what happened? He had a lot of doubts, you know, that is stock exchange gambling or not gambling? Speculation or not speculation? So then finally, I think Radhanath Maharaj solved his problem. He's not here, so I'm secondhand, I'm telling you, because I heard from him, that you don't directly get involved in gambling or speculation. You are in that stock exchange, you can't help it. You are there. But concentrate on things like mutual funds or things which are non-speculative nature. See, don't become that daytime dealer, you know. You buy in the morning shares and sell in the evening, thinking this share will go up or that share will go up. Even the chairman of the company doesn't know whether his share will go up or not. Hare Krishna. It's pure gambling ho jata hai. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Comments? Yes. Ah, Prabhuji. Moscow. Hare Krishna. Huh? Mike.
Hello. Hare Krishna Prabhu. When dealing with the government, this issue of secularism always comes up, right?
Yes.
Because government, everything has to be secular. So
yeah, it's a constitution of India.
So how does then, you know, one try to match Krishna consciousness? And when you're talking, you know, government, if they want to do a scheme which is, let's say, proposed by us, how does one justify that we are also
wonderful
secular?
Question. We had that same problem. You see, the Constitution of India has been modified and it says, we, the secular Republic of India. Starts like that. So secular means, actually, really speaking, if you really go deep down in the Oxford Dictionary, it means not believing in God, actually. Not that all religions are equal. But the interpretation given is that we treat all religions equal. That is what they say now. Okay. So what we did was, because we wanted to go to the government, Ministry of Finance, and we took up that case of our ISKCON, even our, this one, midday meal and all that. So we said, look, we are not saying Muslims are not allowed in this temple, or Christians are not allowed, or Jains, or whatever, Parsis, or Sikhs, or whatever they are. We look at the soul only. And all souls are secular. All are equal parts and parcels of Krishna. So we are more secular than you. Kya baat kar rahe? Then they had to give us. They had to surrender to us. And we said, see, sometimes you have to be a tough, you know, in negotiation with government especially. Sometimes you have to be soft. Whichever, it depends. You can't have the same stick for both. Sometimes you go with a big dandu and hit them. What else to do? Then they enjoy it also. Then they say, ah, he's a tough man, good man. Police jaisa hai. See, police are tough, you know. By their nature, they have to be. So what we did was, we made the whole case in such a way that we said, we are not separating. We are giving even this midday meal. Do you know, we've got beautiful letters from Muslim schools. Principals of Muslim schools thanking us for giving this midday meal to them. And now we have reached Prabhuji is not here. Radhakrishna Prabhu has gone to America. After all, he is really the director who was doing everything, executive director. About 6,30,000 children we are feeding every afternoon for 5 days a week. Five or six? 5 days, no? 6 days. 6 days a week. The last day we are not giving khichdi. Last day we are giving shira. Saturdays. So, I know that program because I am chairman of that. We are doing that work. How many thousands of vehicles? Just imagine. To feed 6,30,000 children. I mean, most of you got 2 children, 5 children, 4 children, 1 child. And feeding them is a problem, no? You have, some mothers I have seen running around children with a plate and spoon. It's difficult, you know, to cater to 6,30,000 children. With so many kitchens, of course, all over India. So we showed documentary evidence that at that time, we were feeding only 10,000. But 10,000 also looked very big. And then we applied for a 35AC income tax. 35AC means 100% of the donation that you give is free of income tax. Means not like ATG. ATG is 50%. Means whatever you donate, 50% you can deduct from your statement of wealth or income. So here, 35AC we've got. So it depends. You have to use intelligence. Intelligence comes by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna only gives us intelligence. Because Vasudev, Vasudev is controller of the mind. Do you know that? Your mind is controlled by Vasudev amongst the four. Ram controls your mind. Do you know that? Very good inquisitiveness. Very good. Any other questions or comments? Oh, we'll go for prasadam. Huh? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.